Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means Go Out into the Deep, a one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Good afternoon. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Rita Halk-Lane, your host for the next hour. Excuse me. Please join me as we seek a deeper, more intimate, and loving relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. May the Lord be with us. May the Lord bless our time together and give us peace. Amen. I just want to give a little shout out to some friends in Virginia that we just spent a week with. We've met some new people there and some old friends there. And I just want to thank them all for their kindness and help as we try to save my great-grandmother's little house that's over 120-something years old. It may even be close to 200 years old. We're not sure. There's not enough records to know, but there are some older people in the neighborhood who swear that it was old when they were little, so that means it's probably closer to 200 years old. And it's just a little tiny thing. It's a three-room house, no running water, no bathrooms, and so we're trying to save it. It's actually in remarkably good condition for being so old. I didn't know it existed. I thought it was long gone. And when I went to bury my dad in 2021 in that area, the caretaker of the cemetery, our good friend Ricky Edwards, told us that it was standing and still there. We couldn't believe it. So we went around there, and the people that owned it are second cousins to me that I didn't know about, and they were willing to sell it. So we bought it. Crazy, but it's beautiful there. I mean, gorgeous there, and it's not too terribly far away, and I want to keep it in the family now that we've discovered it. So we're trying to do it cheaply, but well. So we met with a lot of people, and it was really exciting. We had a wonderful time. And and one of the things that I want to share with you is that, you know, you listen to the news and you listen to people complaining, and it seems like there's no good people left in the world. You're driving and people are yelling and all this kind of stuff. We're surrounded by so much negativity and criticism. Well, get away from the mainstream media and all that sort of thing, and get with real people, like these people, our friends in Virginia. They care. They spend their time not shopping and running around like chickens with their heads cut off. They're helping their neighbors. They are working. They are loving. They are serving the Lord. They're people of faith. And it is just a peaceful, wonderful place to be. And there are good people in the world. And there are really wonderful Christians in the world. For those of you who keep hearing that Christians are bigoted and horrible and all that, no. You're being lied to. Because the evil one doesn't want you to discover the beauty of Christianity, the beauty of having peace in your soul, of being right with God and having Him actually help you make decisions and do things. Yep, He will. So the rest, you know, the evil one uses whoever he can get to do it to bemoan and criticize and belittle the Christian faith when it really is, if lived right, a beautiful thing. So anyway, I want to thank those wonderful people in Virginia, and I look forward to going back and visiting with them. But what I'd like to focus on today is there are certainly many sad and serious things happening in the world today. as well as a lot of anger, impatience, prejudice, isolation, you name it. It's like it has ballooned since COVID. And I think COVID has a lot to do with it. Most of us had never experienced anything quite like it. It was frightening. It isolated us from each other and from church and everything. I mean, we were really separated. And you know, one of the things that happened, though, I was watching, you know, I was still connected with social media. And there were, you know, I think it's because of our history. A lot of Americans found funny ways to deal with the pandemic online. And in some ways, it felt kind of irreverent. You know, we should be really serious, you know, this really, really worried, you know, and if we have any lightheartedness, we're just not wrapped right, you know. But it was really wonderful. A lot of funny little things would be said or done online, and it was lighthearted fun in the midst of some really horrid, worrisome times. My husband is a wonderful guy. He has a great sense of humor, and so we were down at the Jersey Shore for the 3 months that everything was shut down. And, you know, he got stir crazy because he's, you know, a little hyperactive. Anyway, so what we did was we hung a toilet paper roll from the lights, you know, close to me with the camera. And then he walked way far away from the camera and he put up his hands like he was holding this gigunda toilet paper roll. And I took the picture. It was priceless. It was so funny. And we sent it to our friends. A lighthearted, silly thing. But that's what Americans do sometimes when life is a little tough. It's not all about tears and fears. It's a lot of times there's a certain underlying hope there that everything will be all right and not wallow in the horror and find something fun to or something funny to deal with. And that's what I remember about the COVID that was good. And fortunately, most of us didn't die. So that was good as well. But anyway, there's also many wonderful, exciting things going on in the world now, too. I mean, look at all of the people joining the Catholic Church around the world, especially in Western Europe, France, Italy, Spain. I mean, they're coming out of the woodwork. They are coming back to church. They are filling up the churches, and it's happening here too on a smaller scale, but it is happening. And ever since Charlie Kirk was assassinated, a lot of people have contacted me because they know that I lead a Bible study at my parish and have asked, they're saying, I want to go back to church. The world's out of control. I want to go back to church. I want to be a part of that community. I want to pray with people, the community for peace and all that stuff. And I want to get back to studying God's word. And they ask for a recommendation of Bibles and books to read and that sort of thing to get back on track with the Lord. And that is a wonderful thing. And if you're thinking of doing that, go ahead and do it. You won't regret it. It'll be awesome. Awesome. Don't look at the people in the church as people that have to be perfect. You know, there's no such thing. And yes, people are going to hurt your feelings. And yes, there's going to be some people that aren't really Christian that are pretending to be Christian. But there's a lot of really wonderful people there. I know them. And it's wonderful. I miss them when I have to go out of town and I can't go to church. It's wonderful to have those kind of friends that you know you're one with them in Jesus Christ. It really is a family thing, you know. Just keep looking till you find it. Anyway, one of the things, though, I wanted to focus on a little bit today was, you know, I mean, we have these serious things going on in the world, and some of them are very sad and scary. But with the way the things are today, it's very easy to just sit back and blame everybody else for the bad things happening in the culture we live in. It's this person's fault, that politician's fault, it's this, that, everything under the sun. It's everybody else's fault. Everybody else's fault. And there is a certain amount of truth to that. I know that there is. There really is. But should we just accept that and give up? Well, it's out of my hands. It's their fault. Or shall we pray, give ourselves renewed to Jesus Christ, and be his love bombs? Or, I guess I shouldn't use the word bomb with this crazy culture today, but love lights. His love lights in the world, in the midst of all of this, bringing beauty and healing and joy into all of this. We can do that. We can do that because he lives in us through the Holy Spirit. He strengthens us through the sacraments, through his word. We have so much that we can give to the world who's hurting. So much. So much. And okay, maybe you're hurting. Maybe there's certain things that are troubling in my life. And you know, maybe you need somebody to help you. Well, first of all, we all need help. None of us are strong enough to endure life without help. And so we're all in the same boat in some way or another. So we all need help. But the number one thing that Jesus has shown us is that if you give yourself away in helping others, you will receive far more than you give away. It's a sacrifice of beauty in Jesus' name to the world, in spite of how we feel, in spite of the needs that we have. It's a sincere, as Papa John Paul used to say, a sincere gift of ourselves to the Lord and to our neighbor is a sure way to grow in the joy of the Lord, in joy in general in the world, because you know you're doing what you were created to do. To be in the image and likeness of God. God is love. But he is real love. And Jesus gave us a new commandment at the Last Supper. He said it, I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. How did Jesus love? He loved with his whole heart. He was generous. He was understanding. He was patient. But he taught the truth with that love. So we are called. He says that. Love one another as I have loved you. Well, he wouldn't tell us to do something we can't do. He's going to give us the ability, the grace, the right attitude, the right heart to do these things. We just have to cooperate and ask him for it. Okay? But anyway, let's don't just sit back and say, okay, it's out of my hands. I'm not the one that's messed it up. I can't fix it. Blah, blah, blah. You know, let's not go there. Please allow me to say, St. Mother Teresa used to say, you be the one. Mother Teresa used to say, you. You know, there's a lot of needs in the world. It can be overwhelming if you look at the big picture. She would always say, don't look at the big picture. Look at the person in front of you. How can I help that person? What can I do to make life better for them? Give them a dose of joy, a smile. A smile, a simple smile. One person at a time, she used to say. That's how I got interested in and was able to do charity work, because it felt so overwhelming before that. And then I heard her say these things on TV, and it's like, oh my gosh, one person at a time, I can do that. Small things with great love, I can do that by the grace of God. And sure enough, you can. And it gives you a joy you just can't even imagine. So anyway, you be the one. I'm speaking for Mother Teresa in her feet today. You be the one. The one who knows and shares that Jesus Christ has the answers to everything we are facing and dealing with today in the world. He does. He is the Son of God. He came to show us the way to peace, the way to joy, the way to live in harmony with one another. But as human beings, a lot of times we don't want to do that. We want to do our own thing, come what may. Or instead of say, okay, how would Jesus do this? Oh, I'd rather do it my own way. I know what I'm doing. Us without God never leads to peace. It just doesn't. It's impossible. It never leads to real, true, deep, self-giving love, because He is real, true, deep, self-giving love. And He wants you to have it more than anything. And trust me, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. So, you be the one to show and share that Jesus Christ is the answer. Okay? You be the one who has more faith in Jesus than in the evil and destructive things that are happening in our lives and in the world. He is stronger than all of it. He loves more than we do. He's more concerned for the people in our lives than we are. Have more faith in Him than in what's going on around the world and the evil that's there. You be the one who offers Jesus' healing way, His healing truth, and healing life to your little corner of the world. Say yes to Him. Say, Lord, I want to, I'm saying yes to You. I don't even know what it's going to mean, but I want to be Your instrument for peace, for healing, for helping others to see light in the darkness. Say yes to Him. And no to the criticisms and negativity that's running amok, especially in social media and in the news these days. Say no to that. Don't fall for it. The evil one comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He does not want peace. He does not want people to see the good in others. He wants to blind, and He does blind the world to good. All right. I wasn't going to bring this up, but I'm going to. A friend of mine posted on Facebook a quote from someone she knows, and both of them do not, in fact, I think they hate President Trump. And the one person was saying, do not buy anything from China. And do not, nothing China made, do not buy anything American made until this horrible person in the White House has been removed. These emotions of hatred and cancellation of people are so destructive. What about the person working in an American company creating American goods, who has a very sick child or a dying husband or wife, that they need that insurance, they need their paychecks? What about those people when you decide you're not going to buy anything that's made here in the United States because you hate the president? What about the taxes that are paid by the people that work here making those things that are supporting the poor and the disabled? What about them? Do you really, really think through these things? It's so sad. I mean, I understand where they're coming from. There's a lot of discord and a lot of things going on in the world that we don't like. But let's be more charitable. You know, find other ways to make your voice known. Okay? Don't make your fellow citizens who may have voted just like you did suffer because you're angry at someone else. Okay. Anyway, we Christians have been given and do have the power of God Almighty behind us to help us, to renew us, to strengthen us, to give us insight to where who needs what. This quest is God-given, not only to the church and the hierarchy, the pastors, the volunteers, but to each one of us. We're the ones out in the trenches with everybody. A lot of them aren't. They're doing their trenches. We're the ones in the everyday life that are out there who, in such a time as this, really need to live our faith. We need to ask the Lord, renew my faith. Help me to become the person that you need me to be in this world today for such a time as this. There are tons of books, tons of things online that you can Google, you know, that can help you, help strengthen your faith. And then be able to give that away in a very simple way. You don't have to be on a soapbox on the corner. You don't have to go to college. You don't have to do anything extraordinary. The Lord uses the little people to do his will. Excuse me. So just pray for it. Pray for it, and he'll give it to you. So today, I only have a few minutes before I take a break, but between now and the break and after the break, I would like to talk about one of the ways that Christians can be very, very effective in the world, and that is the subject of light. Light. L-I-G-H-T. I recently read a report from Johns Hopkins about light. It stated that light is an essential to life. Without light, there is no life. So light is life. It's essential to life. Light is nature's way of transferring energy through space, for instance, from the sun to earth. Okay? Light is nature's way of transferring energy through space to something else. Light is energy. In other words, it is power. It is power. And so, light is spoken of all through scriptures. When you get a chance, search online for the light of Christ, the light of in Christians, light in scripture, all of those things, and learn about light in the context that God has used it in scripture. It is the power of Christ, the power of God himself living in us and affecting the world. So it's spoken of all through Scripture. I'll just give you a few little examples. There's so many, and we don't have time to talk about it. But for instance, at creation, it says, you know, the Lord created heaven and earth. And then he said, and they were dark. And he said, let there be light. It was really technically, well, maybe sort of technically, the first thing he created, light. And why would he do that? Because without light, there's no life, and there's no way of knowing where you are or where you're going, what you can do. Then there was the burning bush with Moses. He saw the burning bush afar, and he went up the mountain, and he encountered God there in front of this burning bush, fire, light, that did not destroy the bush. And it affected him. That glory of God in that bush came upon him. And when he came down from the mountain, he was so different that he radiated the light of God. You had the pillar of fire that led the Israelites after leaving Egypt. God's light in the tabernacle in the Old Testament. Jesus' transfiguration, where his clothes and his face glowed like light. St. Paul's encounter with Jesus that changed his life. The bright light that, you know, shocked him so much it knocked him down. And of course, the light of the resurrection that burned the shroud figure into the burial cloths. It's all through Scripture. Light is important. We need to know about it. So anyway, I have to take a break. Don't go away. Please stay with me, and I'll see you after the break. God bless.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back. I'm Rita Hauck Lane, your host for the next half hour. In this past half hour, we talked about about how essential light is to life. And without light, there is no life. In other words, light is life. And it's nature's way of transferring energy through space. Light is energy. In other words, it is power. And light is spoken of all through scriptures. In fact, I believe that the Lord created light so that we could understand the power and the eye-opening light that he gives us in his way. Just like, you know, the seasons of nature reflect the seasons of our lives. You know, we have a springtime, a summer, a fall, and a winter in our lives. And I think part of the reason, especially, it's so compelling is in winter, things appear to be dead. You know, the leaves fall off the trees, there's snow, the grass is cut. A lot appears to be dead. There's not a lot of sun. You know, it's a time that appears to be dead, but it's not. There's life down in all of that. And it comes back in the spring. And I think the Lord gave us winter so that when we die, or when someone we love dies, we can know that it's not the last word. That because of Him, there is more life after this one. And we're just in you're in a period where it looks like all is lost and it's dead. No, we are not dead. Might be physically dead or temporarily dead, but nonetheless, He has a different plan. And it's reflected in the seasons. And I feel that light, He created light to show us the same kind of truth about Him and how knowing Him gives a light to your life that makes life full and amazing. Okay. I want to give you some examples of scriptures that speak of light and how powerful light, the light of Christ is, both in Him and within us. So the Word of God is extremely, extremely effective. Whenever I speak to people, I try to include scriptures in it because it's the Word of God. And the power that I have seen emit from it, and the lives I have seen changed, including my own, because of the Word of God. I know that it's real and it's powerful and it has the ability to transform and renew, to teach, to convict, to really, really be a companion in life. And so I want to share some of these examples with you. In John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, when Jesus spoke to the people again, He said, "I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows Me will not be walking in the dark. He will have the light of life. Anyone who follows Me, who is the light of the world, will not walk in the dark. He will have the light of life." The light of life. Without light, there is no life. Without Jesus, there isn't spiritual life. You can disagree with me all you want. I'm just telling you what Jesus Himself said. And I have seen the effects of Jesus' teachings on lives, including my own, and the effect of His way making the world a better place. I'm not talking about the people who use it as a weapon or who pretend to be Christian but aren't. You know, and there's a lot of people in social media right now who are pretending to be Christian and saying things that aren't Christ-like. So be careful. Jesus Himself said, "Test the spirits." In other words, you know, discern what you're hearing, because there's a lot, you know, there's a lot going on out there that's not truth. So anyway, He says, "Whoever, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows Me will not be walking in the dark. He will have the light of life." He promises light for life. And then in 1 John, John also says, "This is what we heard from Him," Jesus, "and the message that we are announcing to you. God is light. There is no darkness in Him at all. If we say that we are in union with God, while we are living in the darkness of sin, we are lying because we are not living the truth. But if we live our lives in the light, as He is in the light, we are in union with Him and one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. The sacrifice, the self-sacrifice of Jesus for our salvation purifies us from the sin, because we are living in union with God, who is light. We seek not to live in the darkness anymore. Why would you want to go back to the darkness when you've had a taste of the light? A true taste of the light. So yes, we sin, yes, we fall, but we can have that goal of living in the light, and the Lord will be with us and help us to do that. Okay, and in Matthew, it says, Matthew 4, this was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people that lived in darkness have seen a great light. On those who lived in a country of shadow, dark as death, a light has dawned. From then onwards, Jesus began His proclamation with the message, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." The prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, many years before Jesus came, prophesied that the Messiah was coming and bringing a new kingdom. And that kingdom was going to be a kingdom of light and beauty. And so the people who lived in darkness, which is the world before Jesus showed up, have seen a great light, who is Jesus. And on those who lived in a country of shadow dark as death, a light has dawned. And Jesus came and says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." Repentance is essential to a real deep relationship with Jesus Christ. It said in the previous one, if we say we're in union with God while we're living in the darkness of sin, we are lying. Yes, we're sinners, and yes, we can go the wrong way. But if we turn back to Him and don't live in that darkness and choose that darkness, we can come back to Him, and He has open arms. We can't beat ourselves up if we have true desire to be in union with Him. He wants that more than we do. So it's a good thing. Okay, and then in John, back in the Gospel of John 1, speaking of Jesus, what has come into being in Him was life. Life that was the light of men. And light shines in darkness, and darkness could not overpower it. The darkness of the culture of the time, the darkness of the hate and the evil, who couldn't accept the truth that He was teaching, they thought they could wipe Him out by murdering Him. And that's what a lot of people do even today. Look at the people that have been assassinated because people didn't like the truth that they were teaching, the truth that they were promoting in the world. We've had quite a few assassinations in the world. And especially in this country, and each one of those persons assassinated was trying to their best of their ability to share the truth, and the truth that would set people free and would bring good healing to the world. And they were silenced. They were silenced. So many people. But my heart really breaks, especially over Martin Luther King Jr., the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. He had such beautiful words of truth. And it was all about peace and coming together and finding a way to work community out of what was separated. And Charlie Kirk, I mean, you know, you can be upset with some of the things that he said and did, but he really was trying to sow some peace and trying to live his life as a Christian in a way that would help bring healing to this world. And he was killed for that too. So, I mean, there's a lot of people that have been assassinated because people didn't like the truth, and Jesus Christ was one of them. So, that darkness of hatred, distrust, and misinformation could not overpower it. This is what John says in his gospel. And then in another place in his gospel, chapter 2, it says, Jesus then said, "Walk while you have the light, or the darkness will overtake you. He who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. While you still have the light, believe in the light, and you will become sons or children of light." Walk while you have the light, or the dark will overtake you. If you read scripture, especially in the Old Testament, you can see how the people of God would be given light. They were in covenant with him. And when they stayed in covenant with him, loved him first, sought his face and his direction, lived according to his precepts in an actual relationship with him, things would go well. But then somewhere along the line, they would start choosing evil over good. And so here Jesus is warning us, walk while you have the light, walk in the light, or the darkness will overtake you. He who walks in the dark does not know where he's going. This away, that away, stumbles, you name it. While you still have the light, believe in the light, and you will become sons of light. Choose light, not darkness. Jesus, you see it all through scripture, is the essential, life-giving light and power. He lights the paths of our hearts with spiritual light. He enlightens our minds, bodies, and souls. If we choose to stay plugged into him as our light and power source, we have to choose it. He will not force us. But it's there. It's already there. We have the power of God at our fingertips, the power of God to help us make decisions, to help us choose the right way and the people to help and all that sort of thing. We have that already. If we but ask and seek the truth about ourselves and live in the light, not in the darkness. Okay, all right. Those were scriptures about him as the Messiah, and there are many more. As the bringer of light, it doesn't say he is a light. It says he is the light. And I don't know about you. I really like the light. Dreary days and dark days, I don't like. They're essential. I accept them. But I love the bright light days. They lift my soul. I see where I'm going. I can read. Anyway, then he speaks in other places of us who are believers. In Matthew 5, he says this to us. To us. You are light for the world. A city built on a hilltop cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp to put it under a tub. They put it on the lampstand where it shines for everyone in the house. In the same way, your light must shine in people's sight, so that seeing your good works, they may give praise to your Father in heaven. So, you know what he's saying. A city built on a hilltop cannot be hidden. The lights, you'll see it for miles. The light is real. And you can see it, and many times you can admire it. One of the things I loved the most about living in Southern California was going up into the hills up there and looking out over the valley, or I guess you would say the flatlands before the ocean. Lights as far as you could see. In some ways it was awful because it was so much light pollution, but it was also beautiful in its own kind of way. So light is an uplifting thing. And so when we have the light of Christ in us, we don't want to hide that. We don't want to hide behind our doors at home and not be real Christians out in the world, be out in the world spreading that light with our love and our compassion and our understanding. And so he says, in the same way, your light must shine in people's sight, so that seeing your good works, they may give praise to your Father in heaven. Our good works are simply love for him in action. And people will see that, and they will appreciate it. You know, a couple of winters ago, I was on my... I call it my tree house. It's a sun porch off my bedroom. But it's up in the air, and there's trees around, so I call it my tree house. And that's the old tomboy in me. And I looked across. It was dark. I was doing my prayers before light. And I looked across, and there was a candle in a window, like three houses away, and that was pretty far. But I could see it. And I thought of how the Lord, the light shines in the darkness, and it does not overcome it. Even a little candle in the midst of so much darkness has power and beauty. And that's you and me, folks. That's us. We don't have to have a great big giant flame. We don't have to make a big impression. Just our little tiny flame. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Right? And so in Ephesians 5, St. Paul says, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Behave as children of light. For the effects of the light are seen in complete goodness and uprightness and in truth. The effects of light can be seen by others by complete goodness, uprightness, and truth, with the help of God. All right, and then Philippians 2. Do everything without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine like lights in the world, as you hold on to the word of life. I'm going to read that again. Do everything without grumbling or questioning. The Lord hates grumblers. It's in Scripture. Grumbling is a lack of faith. It's destructive. It's not constructive. And he does not like it. He takes it personally as an act of grumbling against him many times. And a lack of faith in him doing what he thinks is best for us at the time. So do everything without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine like lights in the world, as you hold on to the sword, the word of life, the sword of the spirit. Hold on to the word of life. You're holding on to him and his promises. The only promises and the only person in your whole life that you can really hold on to and count on. Yes, some of us have been hurt and injured in ways we couldn't understand as believers. If we have gotten angry, our hearts have been broken. But he doesn't promise that the storm will go away. He promises to be with us in the storm. In the storm. And afterwards, we're stronger than ever if we have clung to him and trusted him. That's why the Lord wants us to be like children. Don't question everything. Don't try to work it out in your mind, make sense of everything. Just trust. Like a child. I don't understand what's going on, but hey, I can trust this person or that person. Well, you can trust him as well. Even more so. Anyway, in the Bible, the image of darkness is often used to describe evil and sinfulness in the world. When you hear the word darkness, most of the time it has to do with us being blind to evil and what's going on in the world, the whys and wherefores of what's going on in the world, and the sinfulness, even our own sinfulness. The darkness is the evil and the sinfulness of the world. Whereas Jesus comes as the light of the world that shines in that darkness and dispels that darkness if we let him. Mother Teresa used to use the analogy of electricity. She used to say, the wire is you and me. The current and power is God. We have the power to let the current pass through us, use us, and produce the light of the world, Jesus. The wire is you and me. The current and power is God. We have the power or ability to let the current pass through us, use us, and produce the light of the world, who is Jesus Christ. To let the current pass through us. We choose it. We allow it. Okay? As believers plugged into Jesus Christ, we are to be a source of light for others through our words, our attitudes, our actions. Just as a candle gives light to a dark room, that's us. Filled with the light of Christ. Okay. Let's pray that the Lord will help us to be open to his promptings, to help us notice those around us who need to be shown love and charity, mercy, forgiveness, compassion, to know the truth, to learn the truth, and the love of Jesus Christ. That's what he would do. He prayed, he rested, he did what he had to do to stay healthy, but he also gave a lot of himself away. And that's where we're most happy. Because we are, made in his image and likeness. So people are drawn to Jesus when we live as true Christians, plugged into Jesus. Our faith has been handed on to us and down through the ages, not only by the Bible, not only by the hierarchy of the church, but by the Christian witnesses around us our whole lives and throughout history. The living witnesses of Jesus Christ and his power and his healing and all of that is what has given us faith today. So, people are drawn, we're all drawn to beauty, to truth. And, there's as true Christians, we should radiate the fruits of the Holy Spirit. That's, they'll know you are Christians by your love. Love one another so that people will see that and think of me, Jesus Christ, who I am, and believe in me because of you. But the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the Lord gives us the Holy Spirit. When we are baptized and when we say yes to the Lord, we receive the Holy Spirit. And throughout life, we grow. The Holy Spirit helps us to grow into mature Christians. But we already have the seeds of that when we're baptized. And the fruits of the Holy Spirit are charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, which basically means endurance in difficulties, gentleness, faith, modesty, self-control, and chastity. All right? That's what we're called to be as true Christians. If there's anything in that list that you are lacking in, which I think we all lack a little bit at all, each one, pray for the Lord to pour out His Spirit more on you so that you can have a deeper, fruitful life for Him. The world really needs Him, y'all. It really, really needs Him. Life without Christ is not true life. Joy without Christ is not real joy. It goes away. The peace and understanding and right judgment goes away without Christ. And so, I have to go. But another thing that's good is the rosary. Papa John Paul gave us 5 luminous mysteries to pray our rosary. And so, I'm out of time, but look up Mother Teresa's daily prayer on radiating Christ and pray that, okay? God bless you. I'll see you in a couple of weeks or so. I can't be here next week. Sorry, I'll be on the radio. God bless you. Love you. Bye-bye.